Hey gang, welcome back here. Segment three, Latour Live. I want to bring in our guest, a good friend of mine, somebody I really respect and enjoy anytime we're around. She could be the most positive person I've ever met in my entire life. And we could all use some positivity from time to time. I want to bring in Tracy Pileski. How are you, Trace?
I'm great, Dave. Thanks for that introduction.
It's very true. So I wanted to talk to you. You got a new book out now, One Woman in the Himalayas. And this is a follow-up to your first book, One Woman's Camino, where you walked 500 miles across Spain with your daughter. The first question I have, when I read the Camino and then I listen to the audio of Himalayas and how hard that trek was for you, I'm thinking to myself, when I really want to think about life, when I really want to just, you know, get away, I sit on my couch and watch football. You travel all around the world to these exotic places and really test yourself. Why in the world do you do that? And I know it's not to write a book. The book is secondary to the experience. Why do you put yourself through this?
Well, you know, why is always the most interesting question to answer, isn't it?
Sure.
So when I got back from walking 500 miles across Spain, I was in the best shape of my life, and it was such a rewarding walk that I wanted to keep going. And when I was in Spain, I met a friend from Belfast who was actually on the Camino training to return to Nepal. And
wow.
So he offered an opportunity to me to join this small expedition to, you know, to the top of the world and the Annapurna Circuit. And at that point, you kind of say to yourself, you know, if I don't accept this invitation, if not now, then when?
So, and that's pretty remarkable that you would just decide to accept that. And it's even more remarkable to me to learn that people walk the Camino to train to hike the Himalayas. I mean, the Camino is hard enough. That's pretty darn impressive, isn't it?
Well, remember, and it's really important to remember that the Annapurna Trek, which is in Nepal, travels about 130 miles around the Annapurna Range. And it's not like you're climbing the Annapurnas or Gangapurna. This is a high altitude trek, and it's considered one of the greatest treks in the world. Now, things have been changing on the circuit and everything, but it gives you views of the world's highest mountains as opposed to scaling. This was not into thin air.
So you, when I think about, see, a lot of people don't know this about you, but I do. You're an avid skier and you coach skiing up at Ski Round Top. Are you doing that this year? Are you doing that this year? Because it, yeah, I mean, so you love to ski. So for our local listeners who may not know the Himalayas well, compare Ski Round Top to the Himalayas.
650 vertical versus, I think, the highest point on the Annapurna Circuit is at 18,000 feet.
That's insane. And you really struggled through this, right? I mean, listening to the audio, you say things like, I'm sucking for air in the Himalayas. I coax my body onward, one foot, next foot, repeat. That, it was not a joy walk for you.
No, it wasn't. But what was interesting was it would be a story like thousands of others had it not been for a series of unfortunate events. And all of them conspired to really change my plans and require me to make decisions and reach deep and say, okay, Tracy, now what are you going to do? Are you going to go forward or are you going to go back?
We're joined by author Tracy Pileski, who has just put her new book out, One Woman in the Himalayas. And you say that, you said you struggled with a series of changed plans and you met Buddhist monks. And look, we've all have our ideas of Buddhist monks, right? What was that moment like? Take us sort of in the room when you had that experience.
Well, there were a couple of experiences. First of all, when you start walking on the Annapurna Circuit, you start fairly low down in the subtropics, and then you're climbing past rice terraces and waterfalls. And as you get higher up, the terrain changes, it gets rockier, and you start walking through villages with prayer wheels in the middle. And
wow.
You pass on the right and you run your hand along these carved and embossed prayer wheels. There was one place pretty high up in a village called Upper Pasang that had a Buddhist gompa or a monastery. And we went to a ceremony in there, and you know, there's this, they burn juniper. And so you walk in and there's this very pungent odor of burning juniper and a wail of yak horns that's part of the ceremony. So it's really quite a foreign experience that, you know, for all of your senses, no doubt about it.
Are they as holy and devout and I don't even know how to explain it, but I've always had that impression of them. Is it spiritual? What you think? Yeah, spiritual. Is it what you think? What we think?
Well, you know, one of the comparisons that sometimes people ask me about is that the Camino is a very spiritual walk,
right?
Steeped in Catholicism. When you get to, you know, this is a very different part of the world with different religious beliefs and things like that. And it is equally spiritual, although not familiar in that kind of spiritual way for me as a Westerner. So that cultural experience is one of the reasons why I travel. So are they equally devout? Of course they are. And there were places along those many walls of prayer wheels where the devoted have left behind stones and pieces of cloth, just like they did at the Cruz de Ferro, which was at the highest point of El Camino de Santiago.
Fantastic. So there's an overarching theme in your books about resilience and learning more about yourself. Can you sort of highlight, in many ways, you know, your march through the Himalayas is a metaphor for something larger. Can you sort of elaborate on that so readers understand that it was so much more than just a hike?
Sure. And I think it's really important to remind people that this story is meant to be relatable. You don't have to aspire to, you know, walk the Annapurna circuit or
Good
even
point.
Visit Nepal to, you know, be able to relate to changed plans and those moments because plans always change. And when you're an adventure traveler, you're bound to face a sliding scale of success. So sometimes you'll do things that will exceed your expectations, and other times they will fall short. There's a great quote that I include in the book, and it's by Winston Churchill. And it's, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. So it's really about this, you know, how do you make decisions? In the case of the Himalayas, how do you evaluate risk? You know, sometimes in a high
Right.
and make a decision based upon what you know at the time, based upon your gut. And that's how we travel through life, isn't it? So the metaphor
Sure is.
Is really, you know, how do you curate and take your next step? It's never certain what's on the other end. You got to have a little faith, right, friend?
Sure is. Sure. And you sure do. All right. So next question, very important. Where's your next trip? What's your next challenge? Have you decided yet? Can you tell us?
My goodness, that's a lot packed up. Since we're all in lockdown, you know, this is a good time. This is a good time to dream. This is a good time to plan.
Right.
And I just wrote a piece, this is a good time to take armchair adventures, you know, by reading books and things like that. So, you know, one thing I will tell you is Rick, my husband Rick and I have plans, not our next trip, but shortly down the road to go around the world and to take a year and to do some walking. There are lots of great paths. Walking is a wonderful, intimate way to get to know a place.
I just don't like you and Rick. I just do not like you and Rick. You guys live life like we should all live. I mean, if you know Tracy, her husband's a hell of a guitar player. He picks up that guitar and plays. They ski together. They travel the world together. You are living life right. Let me just tell you, I'm so jealous of that.
Well, I think, you know, we're all living our best lives, or we can all strive to live our best lives, and people don't have to do it the way that I choose to, but it has been a grand adventure, and I'm very blessed about that.
You don't spend a lot of time on the couch watching football.
There are moments for that as well, but now that the Eagles are out, I'm afraid I'm not.
Well said. Hey, tell everybody how they can get your book.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So the book is available on the Amazon platform. So you can go. It's called One Woman in the Himalayas. You can get it on Kindle. And it was quite fun. I recorded it as an audiobook. So it's available on Audible as read by the author. It's very crazy to listen to your own story told back to you in your own voice.
Right. I was listening to you. I'm like, she's doing really good here. That's a process, isn't it? It's not as easy as people think.
No, it's not. I'm not a professional narrator, but it is my story. So I was compelled to tell it myself.
That's so awesome. Tracy Pileski, author, One Woman in the Himalayas. If you don't get this book, don't listen to my show ever again. It's a fantastic read. I highly recommend it. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Love you guys. Thanks so much.
Love you too. We'll be right back here. Latour Live, WHP 580.
Climb every mountain. Search high and low. Follow every byway, every path you know.
Climb every mountain,
ford every stream.